Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth, and we are going in depth with our friend Christy Barse, because this show is called Chamber Chat, and she is the president of the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce and Tourism Bureau, and I got to tell you, always so much great stuff going on with the Chamber and the City of Hastings. How have you been, Christy?
I've been good. Thank you. I'm excited for spring.
No kidding. And I bet that that is really something where some of the businesses that you work with are really chomping at the bit, because we really do turn into a different town, don't we, in the kind of summery spring, fall months.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We have so many tourism-based businesses, as I've talked about before, but you know, our Main Street downtown has done a really good job of programming events through the Downtown Business Association through winter to kind of get people out in downtown. But I hear from so many of them that they really rely on our summer and fall months to make it through the year. And I know our lodging and our event venues do as well. So I think we are all very excited for summer to come and for a busy summer to happen, because Hastings does such a great job with tons of events.
Oh, I agree. And not only events, but just there's so much to see and do once you come to Hastings. And I really do feel like the word is getting out. I mean, I feel like, you know, you're doing a great job promoting the tourism piece. Are you seeing an uptick in people coming to the community from outside our Hastings area?
Yeah, and actually it's been fun. So we've definitely seen a full rebound with lodging. This last summer was one of the highest lodging tax seasons that we've had since pre-pandemic, which is fantastic. And it's been fun to see, you know, some of the downtown events have been starting to do like scavenger hunts or passports, where they ask people to fill out information and turn it in. And they're saying 90% of those people that are turning them in are from out of town. So it's been really great to be able to see those numbers and to track it that way. So, and we've started doing a section in our Chamber e-news called Members in the News, because we're just seeing so many of our Chamber members being recognized on local media, you know, Care 11 and Fox and Twin Cities Live and all that stuff. So a really great exposure. And it's been really fun because we started to see our tourism tagline being used, get away to someplace close, and people are really highlighting how close you are to the Twin Cities, but you feel like you're miles away once you get here.
Oh, I love it. You mentioned the lodging tax. Explain why that's important.
Yeah, so the Tourism Bureau, which is an arm of the Chamber of Commerce, is funded through a 3% lodging tax. So what that means is when people stay at our hotels, they have, they're charged 3% on top of their room stay, and then that money goes to a marketing bucket. And so we are able to use the dollars from that lodging tax to create our visitor's guide, to do online targeted campaigns, to fund the website, and to promote events and tourism-based businesses throughout the Hastings area. So that's what, and then it helps us track, too. It helps us track the number of people that are coming and staying over the weekend, and if they're coming from out of town or if they're coming to stay because they're working on the new fleet farm. And yeah, so lots of good things that come from that lodging tax.
Oh, I love it. Well, and the best part is you are able to use that money to further enhance and build the tourism business for our wonderful city, and that is great. You know, we're kind of popcorning all over, but I am so happy because 3 new restaurants have opened in Hastings within the last probably month, and that's got to be exciting for you to see.
It's so exciting. You know, I was talking to a family member the other day, and they were asking how many restaurants we had in Hastings, and I, off the top of my head, I go, I cannot, I mean, not counting, you know, our what we consider fast food restaurants, we have, I think, 19.
What?
And that's just for a community our size. That's truly incredible. And the new restaurants are, I haven't been to Roosters yet, because I know that they've just done their soft opening starting yesterday. But the Corey and the new Thai restaurant, Bimmy, they are excellent restaurants. So it's nice to see some diversity in the food offering, and it's so fun to be able to promote that we have so many family-owned restaurants in town. And that's what people want when they come to visit.
You know, that, again, I think sets Hastings aside from other areas where you go up and down maybe one street like Vermilion, and you're right, it's family restaurant after family restaurant or family owned business. So how do you feel the economy is doing in Hastings? What are you hearing?
You know, Well, so I was hearing positive things. Things were really bouncing back since the economic shutdown in 2020. We are starting to see just hints of a bit of an economic downturn, and I don't know if it's because people are just getting cautious, but we are, from, you know, our retailers and some of our restaurants, hearing that people are just not out as much as they were last year. So, you know, I don't know if it's that we're kind of waiting to see what happens with this legislative session, or, you know, people are saving for their new house because the housing market is still just nuts. but we are, and we are still working with a historic workforce shortage, something that we've never seen in our lifetime before. So I think that puts a little bit of a strain on the economy, and I am hearing from our businesses are just having to, you know, either limit hours or shut down early because they just simply don't have the staff to be able to run. So a couple things running into that. You know, I don't think we're certainly not preparing for 2008, but we are hearing that we're going into a bit of an economic downturn, and I think that our retailers and restaurants and businesses are feeling it a bit.
And when you get together with your fellow chamber presidents from around the state, is that the same feel that you're getting from even larger communities?
Yes, 100%. You know, and our manufacturers are feeling it from supply chain issues. They're dealing with supply chain shortages all over. So yes, it's a consistent message, and certainly a consistent message around the workforce challenges. That is the number one business issue right now, and that's across the state. It's really across the nation, but we meet regularly across the state, and that's consistent.
I know that one thing that you have been highly involved in is really trying to help with that work shortage, and that is you're working with the local high school in you know, their career and their college counseling area. Tell us a little bit about that partnership, please.
Yeah, it's a partnership I'm really excited about, one that was really supported by Superintendent McDowell. And then, you know, I work closely with Judy Geip with the career, and she's a career and college counselor at the high school, and then also Steve Peterson, who's a counselor at the high school. And what we've been doing is we've been trying to consistently program business in the classroom. So bringing in our local businesses for a variety of different reasons. They serve on employment panels to talk about employment opportunities for life after high school. And then they also work on real life skills. So last year we piloted a curriculum that was explaining salary versus benefit packages and how to really determine what you're getting paid from a benefit package standpoint. So you may see an hourly wage, but once you add in health insurance and 401k and paid time off, what is really your end salary package? And so I'm really excited to bring that program back again. And I know that the high school is all gung-ho about expanding on that. And what we have, so on the chamber side, we have what we're calling a business education committee that's formed. And they're going to be really charged with finding the right business representatives to get into the classroom and then helping with some of these other spin-off projects like a summer job fair. We're working with the career counselor on how businesses can better write job descriptions for high school students. They often hear from their high school students, well, they don't even put the wage in there, or I don't know if I'm 14, if I'm even eligible. So kind of educating our businesses, too, on what they need to do to attract those that coming right out of high school or those that may want a summer job. Really exciting stuff.
And the fact that you are able to impact people directly and so quickly, I mean, you're talking to kids in school, and some of these kids are able then, when they graduate that maybe this same year, to head into the workforce at one of these companies and get the training
exactly
that they need. I mean, it's wonderful, Christy. I really applaud you for this effort.
Well, thank you. Yeah, this type of programming wouldn't happen without our members, certainly, but also just without the funds that come from Rivertown Days. The Chamber started Rivertown Days to give back to the community and provide a community celebration, but as it's grown and become a fundraiser for us to be able to expand some of these major programs. And so I just always like to let folks know that, you know, when they are purchasing a button or attending Rivertown Days, that they're giving back to programs like this Business Education Network that we're able to form with the high school. So just a fun little reminder. But no, I think this program is only going to grow, and we're starting to see the successes of that, you know, college is not for everyone.
No.
And students are feeling more comfortable speaking out about that. I really applaud the courage I see from our students. I mean, they're asking these employers, do you have autism insurance? Will you provide flexibility? I have this anxiety or something along those lines. And they're putting these businesses to the test. And it's been really good for our businesses to go back and say, you know what, maybe we do need to adjust things in our work environment to remove some barriers so that we can appeal to a broader audience. And that's been great. And I know, like, Innovative Surfaces and InTech Plastics have hired from sitting right on that panel that we've done, the employer panel.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, so it's good. It's a lot of these businesses offer tuition reimbursement, too. So, like, you know, Alina Health and our manufacturers, they'll reimburse students that do want to continue their education and move up in their workforce.
So if there's somebody listening that knows a high schooler, is a high schooler, has a high schooler, check with your counseling department for some of these great opportunities. Christy, yeah. One of the other things I know that you are very busy with is with the legislative session going on now. I know you work a lot with our elected officials, and we have two new elected officials that represent Hastings. So I would assume that that's been a learning curve for everybody.
It has, yeah. So behind the scenes stuff that the Chamber does too, we advocate for local businesses at the Capitol, at the county, and at that local level. And so this year we have been very busy at the Capitol, not only because we have two new elected officials that it's important for us to establish a relationship with and to make sure that they're hearing what's important to our local family-owned businesses, but also just to make sure that, you know, as we talked about the current economy, our businesses are still struggling. We're still feeling the effects of the pandemic. We're feeling the effects of the workforce shortage. And when we see numbers like a $17.5 billion surplus, you know, I think it's only reasonable for us to really push for reasonable taxation that would be focused on infrastructure and not just overtaxing our small businesses and when they're already hurting to keep their doors open. So that's been a lot of what we've been focusing on with the workforce shortage and workforce development as a key priority of ours. We know the benefit packages that our employers are offering, and we know how robust they are. And so, you know, we've been very vocal and open about our opposition to the mandatory paid family and medical leave program out there, although the intent is so good. It would be really challenging for our businesses to be able to continue to provide their robust benefit packages if they're having to pay for a state-run mandate. So that's one that we've been really, really focusing on and getting a lot of feedback on from our members on, and just encouraging our elected officials to be mindful of the tax burden when it comes to small businesses that are just really working to keep the doors open.
Absolutely. Every day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day. I know another thing that you are involved in and that involves the city of Hastings is MnDOT is currently in the middle of a study on Highway 61/Vermilion Street corridor from basically 4th Street, where you guys are located, up to really the kind of the civic 36. Arena area. Yeah. And past.
Yep.
Tell us about that and where you and the chamber, how you factor in your opportunity to make some changes or impact there.
Yeah. So this is a massive infrastructure project. As you said, it goes right through the middle of our town. And, you know, from a chamber perspective, infrastructure improvements are important. They're important to the future of our community. They're important to make sure that we can, you know, get people in and out of the community. Hopefully they stay, but that they're able to travel in and out safely. And so we have a really good partnership with the MnDOT project team and with the City of Hastings Public Works Department. And our number one goal during this gathering feedback phase that we're in right now for the project is just making sure that we're reaching out to our chamber members directly on Highway 61, ensuring that they have the proper maps and know what's coming down the pipeline, and then really making sure that there's an opportunity for them to provide feedback, questions, or concerns to the MnDOT project team. And I think I will say that I've been really impressed with the way that our members are communicating, because I think for some of them, especially in the Midtown area, they're losing access points, and that can be very scary. It can be really scary about, you know, how they're going to get deliveries, how they're going to get their customers in and communicate to customers that there's a new way to enter and access their building. But they're keeping an open mind, and they're being respectful, and they're talking to the project team in the city and saying, hey, we know that this is a good project. Let's work together and figure out what the best solution is. So I've been really, really happy with how that process is going. And I actually just talked to Ryan at the City of Hastings yesterday, and they want to continue that dialogue and make sure that there are solutions put in place that are good for the project and good for the commercial businesses on the corridor. So, and then once project starts in 2027, the chamber's role is really going to be promotion. So as we know, you know, construction and orange cones can be really hurtful to businesses that are right in that pathway. And so we're going to have to get creative on promoting other ways to access these businesses, promoting, you know, passports or coupons or something along those lines. That's going to be our role once we get into the construction phase.
And that's something that I would assume you are having to look ahead, just like this MnDOT project is. It's not something that what's good for just for today. I mean, you have to look ahead and have the best interest of so many people that have businesses along that corridor.
Right. Yep. And you know what? And we have to look for future development too.
Right.
You know, what is the best road improvement plan to promote future development? And so, yeah, so it's uncomfortable sometimes and it's scary. But at the end of the day, I think everyone has the best interest at heart, and they want what's best for the community, and it will just take some creativity and flexibility. And I think we have the right people. It seems like we have the right people in all places to make it work.
Well, and I do think that MnDOT is doing a good job of educating, because I think that's the part that if people could just get educated now instead of, you know, 5 years from now crabbing about something, you know, that this is the time to get involved.
Right. And you know what? And people are, Moel.
Great.
I want to say there was over 100 people at the last open house. I was happy that MnDOT and the City of Hastings had so many representatives there, because people stood and they waited in line and they took their turn and they all made sure that they had a full understanding of the map and the full corridor and asked the appropriate questions. So it seems like people are really sitting up and paying attention. And perhaps it has a little bit to do with what we saw in 316, but I've seen a lot more involvement with this corridor project than we seem to see with the 316 project. So,
well, we love it. Great. Thank you for all that you do, Christy. You're in the middle of so many different projects and things that are going on in Hastings. We really appreciate it, and we greatly appreciate your time today. Christy Barse, she is the president of the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce and Tourism Bureau, and we want to say thank you to you. This show is called Hastings Chamber Chat, and it's heard on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.